Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a podcast hosted by international award-winning author, two-time TEDx speaker and investor, Natalie Torres-Haddad. She will share the tips and tricks from interviews with self-made entrepreneurs, leaders, and those who have attained financial freedom while learning financial literacy.
Welcome, welcome. Hola, hola. Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. I am here with, obviously, one of the well-known podcasters, also an award-winning Plutus Award, which is really impressive for those that are podcasters, totally know this. He is the creator of Popcorn Finance, which I recommend all the time because, especially when I'm speaking at universities and conferences, the students are always asking, like, okay, what are some fun podcasts that I can listen to so quickly? And I think I'm like, oh yeah, this is the first one that that comes to mind. So it's such an honor to be able to meet up with him. And of course, we're meeting up in the most least likely place. So you'll be able to see a little video of it in Long Beach in the car because it is way too windy in my booth right now at this at the Festival of Great Read. So, but this is what podcasters do. When they have a moment to meet with someone, literally, if it's only for 15 minutes, we will make it work. If it has to be in the car, in a restaurant, wherever it might be, that might be as quiet as possible. And it's really hot out. It's summer, and we have the AC out just for your convenience. But welcome, Chris, for being a part of this. And can you tell us why you started Popcorn Finance?
Thanks for joining me here in my car with a bunch of random stuff in the back as I'm in the middle of a move. But I started Popcorn Finance a little over 2 years ago now at this point, because I went to school for financial planning, ended up getting out of school, middle of the recession, took a job at a bank, then as an accountant, and I wasn't really doing what I wanted to do. I went to school for financial planning because I really love talking and teaching finance, but I went so far in the opposite direction that I wasn't really feeling satisfied with work. And years ago, I had worked on a podcast with a friend, and so I was like, you know, I think it would be fun to start another show. And that was kind of like the beginning stages of Popcorn Finance. After years of kind of putting it off, procrastinating, and being scared to start it, eventually I got the nerve, my wife pushed me, and I started the show.
I love it. And then the fact that you've won an award already for it, I think that's impressive. And not just any award. I think that speaks to the type of content that you're providing, how consistent you are, which is not easy for anyone that's trying to start a podcast, right? We learned that the hard way too, right? Yeah. Going right into it. But I thought you'd be a wonderful guest, not only because obviously I try to do content under 20 minutes, but because your content is usually so quick and so short, and you said in the time to make popcorn. I love the fact that you bring in people from all different backgrounds, different experience in financial services, non-financial services, and I think that's just wonderful because then we can really, I always enjoy it. I drive a lot, so when I'm commuting or any we're traveling, it's like, oh, I need something quick for a few minutes, and that's one that I love to listen to. And for other people that are trying to figure out other podcasts to listen to that are finance, any recommendations? I know you know a lot of podcasters because you're part of, you go to FinCon every year, and I'm like such a FinConner now, and so I think that's such a great experience. You actually know these people. So do you recommend any podcast that you maybe emulate from or inspired from that you think other people should be listening to?
I mean, other than your podcast, of course.
Thank you.
But hopefully the people already know that if they're listening to this.
I didn't pay him to say that.
But, you know, I've had a long commute for many, many years, like 2-hour round trip commute. So I get a lot of time to listen to podcasts. So I have to think of some of my favorites, especially in the finance space. One big one, FairSense, Tanya yes. Hester, Kara Perez. They do a really great job of not only, they're not so much on, let me teach you how to save, but it's more so the bigger topics and bigger social issues, especially pertaining to women and finances. So they do a really great job of not shying away from talking about controversial topics, bringing in people to really dig deep into these and hopefully provide some insight and maybe help people see things a little bit differently and get out of their bubble.
Yes.
That's for sure one.
I recommend that one too. It's just such a, exactly, being able to hear different stories from it, you're like, oh, I never thought about that, right?
Yeah, exactly. And especially for me as a guy, different experience completely from what women deal with day to day. So for me, it's good to hear from women directly, what are the issues that they deal with? Because I'm not going to see it. Just like someone's not going to know my background being African-American, you need to see it and hear it from someone else to really truly understand it. That's why I love listening to their show.
I love it. And since you, obviously, you said you when you graduate, you dealt with the downturn in the economy. And obviously, as a recent grad, that's such a hard hit for anybody, right?
Yeah.
Any podcasts out there that you feel that you connected with maybe during that time or now that you recommend?
Big one, if you really want to get into the details, and they say you're not going to learn anything, but Stacking Benjamins is a really great show. Joe Saul-Sehy, OG.
Yes.
They do a great job of digging into whether it's like a big financial topic going on at the time. Maybe it's the, you know, the fallout from the Equifax hack and all the, you know, people taking their settlement from that. Or if they're just going to go completely off topic and just talk about, you know, some crazy situations going on in the finance industry. They're always very entertaining. Even though they say they're not educational, very educational, and it's just a fun conversation to hop in on. So that's another one if you really want to, I think, dig into some really maybe high-level topics, but in a fun way.
Yeah. He's hilarious, and I love that he's like, here from Joe's mom's basement.
It's exactly.
Like, it's always, you don't know what to expect. It's just, he's got so much energy. I was nervous when I did an interview with him because I was like, I've been listening to your podcast forever. But
exactly
every single time I learn something, and I love the change quirkiness of who Joel is. So I think that's a really great recommendation. And for you, obviously, you said you were on another podcast, but before you started doing Popcorn Finance, any maybe challenges that you overcame as a podcaster? Because I'm sure people that are listening want to maybe venture out and do their own podcast too, depending if they have their own side business or whatever it might be. Is there something that you felt you had to overcome?
I think a lot, one is like self-doubt. You really start to, you know, question if you should be doing this, if it's going to be good. And, you know, right off the bat, it's not going to be good. I mean, I don't know if I've ever heard anyone who said, you know, my very first episode was amazing. You're going to struggle. It's going to take time to develop and figure out what it is you want to do. But the best thing you can do is just start.
Right.
Whether that's going to be starting on your phone, whether you buy a microphone, whatever it may be, you just need to get the reps in. Because the more you do it, the more comfortable you become, the easier it is to just be in front of the mic and not just, you know, close up and not be able to say anything.
Yes.
I think that's the biggest thing. And then just, like you said, being consistent. I don't know why, but I haven't missed a weekly episode for 2 years now.
That's impressive. That is so impressive.
And there's many days I want to not make one. You don't know how often. It's like Sunday night, and I'm like, I could just not put out an episode tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that consistency has forced me to kind of keep the routine going and not feel that, oh, you know, maybe I won't do it. And because it's a slippery slope to just stopping completely. So,
right. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's something that other people need to hear that because and things happen every week. So, I mean, obviously this past week we had the unfortunate shootings of El Paso and Ohio and be able to incorporate that does affect us in not just the financial side of it, but every other aspect. So it's important that you keep doing what you're doing weekly because life is always changing.
Yeah.
As podcasters, I think that's such a crucial, I inspire that, I aspire to do that. Cause I'm like, I love that exactly kind of that consistency that you can go back to. So, thank you for doing that because I know that's definitely always a challenge. And like how you said, no one has a perfect first podcast. Even maybe many episodes after you're like, why do I keep doing that? Or why do I keep saying the same word over and over?
Exactly.
you learn from it. Obviously you've been doing this for 2 years and you've listened to so many other podcasts. For you, is there anything that you want that you have a goal for yourself for this coming year as a podcaster? And for those that are listening, because the reason why is like being able to provide them maybe one or two tips on your goal, because it might help them maybe collaborate with you or more importantly, reach their goals as well, because they just said, oh my gosh, if Chris is doing it, that means I should be able to do it too.
Ooh, that's a great question. I would say one of my goals is I get bored with what I'm doing a lot. Like I have to shake things up because like after 6 months of doing the same thing, I'm like, okay, I want to do something different. So I'm always looking for ways to shake things up. So one of my goals is to go back towards more educational and teaching type episodes. Because I've sort of drifted into more of an interview style show, which has been great because I've met a lot of amazing people. But when I started out, the goal was to kind of like, you ever seen a show called Good Eats?
Yes, yes.
I love that show. And I love the way he breaks down food in a very easy to understand way. But it also is very entertaining. Mm-hmm. So I've always wanted to try to do that with finance.
Yes.
So my goal is to do more episodes that are approachable, fun, but really dig deep into a topic and maybe help explain some of the things that we do with our money and why it happens. So that's one of my big goals is to really improve and kind of grow the content of the show.
I love that. I love that. And you're right. It's like you change or not even change. You're constantly improving yourself, being able to understand that, okay, I've already done that. Let me do something different because you want to stay in the game, right? You want to be relevant. You want to be able to people really enjoy your podcast and 200, 300 episodes, right? I mean, I'm always impressed when I see like Jen Hemphill, other podcasters that I've been like listening to forever. And I'm like, wow, you've done at least 100 episodes or 200. It's like, wow. I mean, you know, when you're starting off, that's one of the ultimate goals, to be able to have that consistency that comes from it. And that's a great goal. So hopefully people that are listening can send in some questions and things that they want you to cover, because there is just so much when it comes to finances that it's an overwhelming topic, and it's an evolving topic. So being able to understand that every week you're going to come out with something new. So no pressure, Chris.
I put out a rerun now.
Well, the question I love to ask in every episode, and I think this is something that's crucial for people that are starting up their side business, whether they're making money through their podcast. Do you remember receiving like the first check or cash for a job that you did that wasn't necessarily your 9-to-5, and be like, oh, I can make more money doing this as opposed to, you know, my hourly rate?
Oh, that's a great question. I think the first thing I can remember doing, so like all the way back to the beginning.
Yeah, that one. Mm-hmm.
I was in middle school. I think I've passed the statute of limitations now, so I can talk about this. And I would sell mixed CDs at school. And so I got a CD burner, and what I would do is I would go around and I would take lists. I would have a list of, hey, these are CDs I got, or do you have any suggestions? And then the people say, okay, I want this song, I want this. And I would go back, I would burn them, I would come back and sell them the next day at school.
The mixtape right there. Exactly. With the CD. Awesome.
Yeah, it wasn't my rap, because nobody wanted to hear that. But yeah, that was the first time I really like stepped out and tried something on my own to make money. And it felt good to, you know, bring in like money that I worked for, and I could do whatever I wanted to do with it. So that's like one of my earliest memories of like really bringing in money and be like, maybe there are some ways I can do something on my own.
That's crucial, because sometimes people think it's until you're an adult. And I go, no, it's at that one moment that someone gives you cash where you're like, I just sold you one little product. Or I didn't even, you just wanted to pay me for me to show up. It's awesome. So I think that's a good story, because you just never know that something can trigger to not only maybe possibly make you an entrepreneur, but be creative. And that's what podcasting is half of the time, is the creativity that comes with it. It's an outlet. It allows people to really hear other content that maybe not might be out there. And the fact that you represent so many people today at this festival, we were talking about representation within our community. Mm. So seeing people of color, seeing people from different representations is so crucial. And I thank you for what you do, because that's what people want to hear and understand that, hey, you know, you can make some money too while you're at it, right? We welcome it always. But thank you so much for joining me. And I'm so happy that we got to do this, even if it was quick, in the car, last minute, the life of a podcaster. And obviously this will be available through video too. But if you can maybe walk away with, or excuse me, share with people one of your favorite moments through your podcasting experience, whether it was an interview or it was an aha moment that you had during your podcast.
Ooh, okay. One of my most memorable moments, I think, so far with doing the show is that I've fallen in love with tiny homes. I don't know where it came from. I'm not a tiny person, but I love tiny homes for some reason. I don't know why. My wife is still kind of baffled by why I care about that. But I wanted to do a series on tiny living, and I got the chance to do it earlier this year. And I got to go to Phoenix, Arizona, and interviewed a couple who built a tiny home, and they are renting it out on Airbnb in their backyard.
Wow.
And so we got to stay in the Airbnb for one night, and then I got to talk to them. They came home from work, and we all sat together in the tiny house, and we recorded an episode together about their experience. And it was just so cool to, one, be in a tiny home and then talk to these people who are doing this. And so that was like one of the most memorable moments I've had so far with the
show. That's awesome. And now there's this new show called Cash Pad. So and it's doing that Airbnb with these small tiny homes. So I think it's incredible that you had that experience firsthand. So great talk. Thank you. And for those that are listening, we're going to do a Spanish version, not with Chris, who doesn't speak Spanish yet. No challenge there yet. But definitely tune in to other tips on, but obviously recommended podcast that he gave us. Tune in. And obviously when you have 10, 15 minutes, whatever it is, tune into HID Podcast, because this is the best way for you to enjoy your commute for sure. But how can people find you if they want to connect with you?
The best way to find me is just look for Popcorn Finance on Instagram. That's where I hang out the most. So if you want to connect with me, ask me a question, find out about the latest episode, that's the best way. Or just look for wherever you listen to this show. You can just search for Popcorn Finance. You can find me there.
Well, thank you. And we look forward to chatting with you in the future for more Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. I'm Natalie Torres Haddad, and we'll talk to you next time.
To learn more about the podcast, check out financiallysavvyin20minutes.com. For more interviews, make sure you look up Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes on YouTube and Instagram TV. To hire the trailblazer, as Forbes featured her the financial and mental health advocate for your next workshop or speaking engagement, follow Natalie at Financially Savvy Latina on all social platforms. All it takes is 20 minutes daily to become financially savvy. Music by Nikki and produced by Robert DeLude.